Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in East County. My very special guest today is Corey Briggs. He has a two-decades-long record as an attorney challenging insider power brokers who've dominated City Hall for decades. He's been described by Times of San Diego as the bane of downtown developers, and he's filed numerous lawsuits, many of them successfully championing taxpayers, voters' rights, the environment, and government transparency. He's also taught law, including courses in professional ethics, and now he's running for San Diego City Attorney against the incumbent Mara Elliott, promising to be a taxpayer's advocate if elected. And full disclosure, listeners, he also once wrote a letter on behalf of East County Magazine, our media outlet, to get a local school district, Cajon Valley, to stop violating California's open government law and cease threatening to arrest our reporters for recording public meetings. Corey, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So you have a successful law practice. What made you decide to jump into politics and run for city attorney?
Yeah, a lot of people are asking me this question. It's a good question. Look, I've been fighting City Hall for almost two decades, as you said, and running for office was never on my bucket list. But I see the consequences of not having good professional legal advice given to the client, in this case, the city. And I've been watching it administration after administration. And the city faces big issues. But if you read the news, you see that frequently the city ends up in court, and it usually ends up on the wrong side of the cases. And this costs taxpayers a lot of money. It costs the city progress. And it's time for the mayor and the city council to have a lawyer who's giving them sound legal advice without the lawyer's political agenda being what drives the advice.
Can you give us an example or two of a couple of those cases where
Sure.
they were on the wrong side, where you would have advised them differently?
Yeah, sure. So probably the example that comes to mind easiest is the two lawsuits over SDSU West and Soccer City.
Yeah.
Right? The city attorney was opposed to these measures from the very beginning. She wrote memos that were critical of those proposals. These were put on the ballot by the voters. The city council and the mayor all said they're going to the ballot. And the city attorney's office pushed hard in secret to get permission to file lawsuits. The lawsuits were frivolous. The lawsuits were thrown out. The lawsuits cost the taxpayers about $600,000. One of my clients had me intervene on behalf of the voters to make sure that the voters would have their say on these items. The city attorney's office fought it. This makes no sense. The public spoke. The public wanted a say. The politicians had years to do something without going to the ballot, and they couldn't get their act together.
Yeah, true.
And so when the voters finally said, enough is enough, we want to vote on these two proposals, the city attorney used taxpayer money to try to disenfranchise San Diego voters. That's not acceptable, and it's all driven by politics because she was opposed to these from the beginning. She was humiliated in court when the cases were thrown out. She's got something to prove, and the latest example on this was just in Voice of San Diego today about how there's a non-disclosure agreement over the negotiations on SDSU, between SDSU and the city. And the voters have already voted on it. We know what this is supposed to look like. So why are we doing this in secret?
Yeah, it seems very troubling. And speaking of secrecy, can you also address what you have characterized as her efforts to gut the California Public Records Act? And how your approach to that would differ.
Sure. So earlier this year, the city attorney's office proposed changes to the California Public Records Act. You know this. I will tell it for the benefit of your listeners. Mm-hmm. That's the law that allows any member of the public to go see public information.
Right.
So the Brown Act is the law that requires meetings to be done in open. The Public Records Act is the law that lets you see the documents, the emails, the text messages, things like that. And city attorney's office proposed a change that was presented as one thing to make it easier to get documents, when in fact, the real purpose of the law was to make it nearly impossible for citizens to hire lawyers to go to court to enforce these rules.
Ooh.
And the members of the legislature who carried this proposed legislation, they were not told the true nature of the changes. And all of this is being spearheaded by a chief of staff for the city attorney who is not a lawyer. He's the number two in the office. He's not a lawyer. He's learned more about the law from traffic school than law school. And the impetus for all of this was a very humiliating defeat that the city had a couple years back in court, where it would represent to the judge that the city had turned over all the documents. And on multiple occasions, after saying there's nothing else, the city would do another search and find out that there are more documents, sometimes hundreds more documents.
Yeah, I mean, as a journalist, I think if you ask just about any journalist in town, they would say, if anything, the Public Records Act is not strong enough because there's not any teeth in it. There is no compensation, no reimbursement for journalism organizations that file a suit to get reimbursed staff time that we have to put in. You can get attorney fees if you win, and that's it.
That's right.
So a lot of agencies, in my experience, just sort of flaunt it because they really don't think that the media is going to take them to court, let alone a member of the public who doesn't have deep pockets to go hire an attorney to begin with.
Yeah, no, that's right. The only way the Public Records Act is enforced is when you have people asking who have the means of hiring an attorney, and when they win their case, they get reimbursed for their attorney's fees. None of their other time is covered. Meanwhile, when the cities are stonewalling, all of their staff is being paid the entire time that they're blowing off the public and resisting turning over any information. So it's completely unfair to start with, and yet her approach was to make it even more unfair by making it impossible for you to get a lawyer. And worse than that, I mean, that's a horrible change in and of itself.
Yeah.
But worse than that is misrepresenting the nature of what she was doing to the legislature, not telling them that she was making this huge change. And she did it all on her own without going and talking to the mayor and the city council.
So they didn't know about that either.
Yeah, that's right. I was at the hearing when they shot her down. They were learning about it for the first time.
That's shocking. Another troubling aspect has been brought out in some recent news articles suggesting that she tried to bury allegations of child abuse involving people at the San Diego Junior Theater. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, so full disclosure, I represent the father who blew the whistle on this. He tried to get information from the city to find out what they were doing to make sure that the issue was fully investigated and to make sure this never happens again. As is often the case, the city stonewalled, didn't turn much over. I got involved to get him documents. What we learned in the course of getting documents is that Mara Elliott, when she received the complaint about child abuse allegations, instead of investigating it, she sent it to one of her campaign donors, a lawyer for the Junior Theater, and said, I haven't read this yet, but I recognize the person's name. So as the city's top law enforcement officer, even before finding out what was being alleged, she's leaking it to the lawyer for the subject of the investigation.
Yeah, and a donor. You don't do that. You're not supposed to tip off someone who might be under investigation.
Totally unheard
of. Or friends with someone who's under investigation.
Totally unheard of. It's beyond unprofessional. It's beyond unethical. But it is symptomatic of the way the office has been run for far too long.
Now, it wouldn't be fair for us to talk about all of her controversies, Corey, and for me not to ask you about your own legal career, where you've at times sparked some controversy yourself. Notably, a few years ago, iNewsSource ran some articles suggesting, among other things, that liens you filed on properties might have been efforts to fraudulently shield assets, and they criticized you for filing suits on behalf of some nonprofits that your family or close associates reportedly controlled. Could you please address those concerns for our listeners? And also, for the record, let us know, did you ever face any sanctions from the Bar Association or any court action for any of those allegations?
Yeah, sure. Good questions. So the issue with the liens, I'm a small law firm. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm the lawyer and a couple others who work with me. My clients aren't big corporations. When you work for a big firm and your clients are big corporations, they have lots of money. They give you a big fat retainer and you do work. My clients don't have that sort of money available. So in some situations when their case is going to be expensive, they will give our firm liens against property they own. Mm-hmm. There's a procedure we have to go through to disclose potential conflicts to them. They have to run it by an independent lawyer that they choose. Other than me making disclosures, they go decide whether they want to do this with the other lawyer. We have to go through that process mm-hmm. anytime it happens. It's the only way these folks can afford to hire a lawyer.
So basically you're saying there were liens, but there was nothing illegal about the process.
Not only is it not illegal, the rules for lawyers have provisions that explicitly contemplate this sort of arrangement. As long as you follow the rules, it's perfectly fine.
Okay.
You asked another question about the organizations. I've represented lots of nonprofits. Mm-hmm. The same way that developers form entities when they build houses and then they, you know, don't want you to pierce the corporate veil, the law allows citizens to form nonprofits when they're working for the public good mm-hmm. in order to protect their personal assets. It's totally legal. Lots of us know nonprofits all the time. That's the way it's done.
I run a nonprofit myself, and yes, we have a board, and we have that.
That's
errors
right.
and emissions insurance, so
that's
the board's
right.
protected.
And you do all that stuff, and yes, I help my clients establish those. There's nothing wrong with it. Those reports by that organization, I've encouraged people to follow the money, because you can see that when they were writing those stories about me, their revenues increased by more than 100% in the year they were writing the stories about me. They started booking donations on their financials in excess of $400,000. And if you go look at the list of donors, they are wealthy individuals with business downtown where my clients were suing over the project. So I'd encourage anybody to just go follow the money.
So they might have had their own conflicts of interest, arguably.
No question in my mind that they did. The last question you asked is about the state bar. The answer is yes. As a result of those reports, there were two inquiries. I received a clean bill of health from the state bar in both of those instances. It's unfortunate that the source of the false reports that prompted those bar inquiries never reported that I was cleared. They know about it. They've not reported it. I appreciate you asking so I can set the record straight.
On a more positive note, Corey, can we talk about some of your successes as a public interest attorney? What are some of the most significant cases that you've won on behalf of taxpayers, voters, and the environment locally?
Sure. So in no particular order, I had a client who sued because the city was raising taxes to expand the convention center without a public vote. In California, new taxes require a public vote. There will be a public vote next year to raise taxes for the convention center. You can thank my client for fighting that lawsuit along with a now deceased watchdog named Mel Shapiro. Mm-hmm. Those two fought the lawsuits. We won that in the Court of Appeal. Other cases, we had a case against Walmart for essentially buying an election against a city. The voters put the proposal on the ballot. The city wasn't sure they wanted to do a special election because they're expensive. Walmart walked in with a check on the spot, wrote it to the city council and to the mayor, and they said, okay, no problem. Now we'll put it on the ballot. That was a violation of the Brown Act because the public wasn't told it was going to happen. We sued over that, and the Court of Appeals concluded that if you violate the Brown Act, even if it's for the purpose of holding an election, the violation will invalidate the results of the election. That's how important the Brown Act is.
Yeah, very, very interesting. On an environmental front, what are some of the big cases you've handled there?
So one of my earliest cases was on behalf of San Diego Coastkeeper. At the time, it was Baykeeper. Mm-hmm. A number of Marines were having to train in raw sewage up at Camp Pendleton. We sued to get the base to change that around. That was an important case. The men and women who are risking their lives ought not to have to be training in raw sewage.
Yeah.
I spent many, many years suing Walmart over their new stores to make sure that they were 100% green, which means solar, minimizing greenhouse gases, energy efficiency, things like that. There's a long list of those.
Yeah.
And then I've represented a number of community groups against, you know, harmful development where the city wasn't following the rules. Latest example is when the mayor and the city attorney tried to force a transitional housing program in the South Bay on those residents. Transitional housing is important. That's not the issue. But in the South Bay, they only have this one motel left. And this was where all the visitors stayed.
Ah.
So it's sort of a centerpiece of their economic development and their tourist serving area. And they said that the Coastal Act didn't apply. We sued. The judge said, of course the Coastal Act applies. That's an example of trying to protect neighborhoods from overreach at City Hall.
Corey, are there any other issues that you would like to discuss, things you would like to accomplish if you're elected to city attorney?
Yeah, look, my goal in running is to get the politics out of the office. Right? Every client is entitled to objective, sound legal advice without the attorney trying to do what's in his or her best interests. The client comes first.
Mm-hmm.
And for too long, the city attorney's office has not put the clients first. City attorney's office will give advice confidentially, then tell the clients, you can't talk about it, you can't tell anybody what I told you. And that's just false. If the client wants to go say, this is what the attorney told us, the client should be free to do that. Our city attorneys hide behind confidentiality in order to push their agenda. When the next mayor and the next city council are seated, they need to know that there's somebody who understands municipal law, who is concerned first and foremost about the mayor and the council being successful on behalf of their constituents. I don't have any desire to seek other office. As I said at the beginning, I didn't have a desire to seek this one. But we're not making progress on huge issues, housing, homeless, environment, energy efficiency, transportation. All of these things are huge problems. We have huge deficits. Things just keep getting worse. And it's very often because the mayor and the city council are getting political advice masquerading as legal advice, as opposed to just straight up legal advice.
Yeah, and running up big bills for taxpayers, defending in all these lawsuits
right.
that they're losing.
Right.
So instead of spending it on some of the different things you've mentioned that maybe taxpayers would like their money spent
yeah,
on.
Yeah, right. I'm not out soliciting endorsements from people who are suing the city. In fact, I've said anybody who wants to donate to my campaign, you have to certify that you're not a lobbyist. If you go to my website to donate, you have to check the box that says, I'm not a lobbyist in the city of San Diego.
Wow, very good. That sounds very positive, Corey. For the record, we should mention that both you and your opponent, Mara Elliott, the incumbent, are registered Democrats. So far, no Republican has come forward that I'm aware of to announce they're running, but we certainly will, when the filing deadline comes around, we will be inviting anybody else who's on the ballot to come on the show and provide equal time listeners so that you can hear from everybody in the race.
Yeah. You should also make sure your listeners understand it is a nonpartisan race.
Correct.
And the advice that the city attorney gives should be nonpartisan. That's why I'm running.
Very good point. I understand that you actually have been a no-party preference in the past. You've, like many people. Listeners, if you just tuned in, we are speaking today with Corey Briggs, a prominent local attorney with a long track record of championing taxpayers, voter rights, the environment, and government transparency. And now he's a candidate running for the San Diego City Attorney's Office. Corey, I'm going to let you have the last word today. Can you let people know where they can learn more about your candidacy and if there's anything else that you would like our listeners to know?
You bet. You can go to www.coreybriggs.com, C-O-R-Y. There's no E. Go to the website. You can see what we stand for, what we're trying to accomplish in this election. If you have questions, there's a link there where you can contact me. People have been emailing and asking questions. They want to know about things going on in the city. As long as it's not privilege for one of my active clients, I'm happy to tell people anything I can.
Very good. Well, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to join us today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, the network for social justice.
Thanks for having me.